This is a message for members of Thrivent Financial for Lutherans. If you designate your Thrivent Choice dollars to Issues Etc. online before October 31st, Thrivent will designate an additional $25 to Issues Etc. For more information on how you can designate funds to Lutheran Public Radio and give an additional $25 to LPR, look for the Thrivent logo under the Donate page at issuesetc.org.
Seems a little odd, doesn't it, that in pop American Christianity, and this really affects churches across all denominational lines and non-denominational lines, the idea of preaching has become kind of optional. People are out there asking, is there a better way than a preacher preaching to people on Sunday morning? And they're trying everything. They're trying to improve the music, make the music more compelling, more popular. The preaching, they're trying to change it up a little bit. Say, look, what we really need is a younger pastor, or a pastor who's more dynamic, or dresses a little snappier, or whatever it may be. Or maybe they've got another idea other than preaching. They've dispensed with the preaching, gone to an interview format, talk show format, drama, skits. Who knows? Improvisational comedy. It's all been tried. Is preaching mandatory? Jesus seems to be unable to conceive of a church that doesn't have at its center the proclamation of law and gospel from Holy Scripture. Joining us to talk about the importance of preaching on this Wednesday afternoon, September the 11th, Pastor Brian Katchelmeyer. He's pastor of Redeemer Lutheran Church in Los Alamos, New Mexico. He's host of a podcast called Redeemer Theological Academy, and he's author of an article in the latest Around the Word journal titled, What's the Big Deal About Preaching? Brian, welcome back.
Well, thanks for having me, Todd. This is great.
Let's start out talking about the source of preaching, which would be Holy Scripture itself. Is it sufficient? Is it enough for us who handle God's Word and people who hear God's Word every Sunday to affirm that Holy Scripture is inspired, infallible, inerrant?
Well, it's interesting you ask that question. Is it enough? I mean, this is what we hear a lot from conservative American Christianity, that you have this list and you're dotting all of your I's, and that you have the inspired word, the infallible word, the inerrant word, and basically what you're trying to get at, is this word true? So is it from God? If it's from God, it's truth, and therefore we can be certain and sure. But there's a little bit more than just, is it true? The real issue at hand is this word efficacious? Is this word the word that God uses to work salvation in the hearer?
What does that mean, efficacious? Take that apart for us a little bit more.
Well, I know that it falls out of the category because it's not an I-lettered word, but efficacious, starting with an E, is that it affects what it says. So rather than just merely being informative, just giving you the information about truth, it's performative. It actually does what it says. So it's God who speaks creation into existence. He says, let there be light, and there is. It's Jesus who says, this is my body, take and eat, and it is. And so this efficacious is that the words actually do what they say. They affect you. It's effective. There's a power there from God.
How is preaching or the way we view preaching different if we have a word that is merely true as opposed to a word that is both true and able to do?
Well, preaching itself is instituted by God. So there's actually a preaching office that God himself institutes, that this word would be proclaimed into the ear, and then it would perform what he desires it to do. I mean, so when you look through scriptures, you see Jesus himself, right after his baptism, like for instance in Luke chapter 4, declaring that the Spirit of the Lord is upon me to preach, so that Jesus himself will be the preacher par excellence, the one who will preach the word and then send out the apostles to preach the word. And so you have in Luke chapter 4, of course, Jesus is quoting from Isaiah chapter 61, that the Spirit's upon him to preach the good news. And then you get this throughout the whole New Testament. The apostles are sent out, like in Romans chapter 10, How can somebody believe unless he is heard? And how can someone hear unless he has a preacher? And how can someone preach unless he is sent?
Does that explain a lot of the mischief, the nonsense, the innovation, the let's try this, or let's try anything that goes on in American churches today? The fact that a lot of preachers and people out there believe that the word that they have is true, but it doesn't actually do much?
Well, I think what's interesting is if you go back to the 16th century, here's where you start to have this whole divide and this division between what you have is the external word and the internal word. So in this time period, this is where you start to get these movements of these Anabaptists who want to drive a wedge between the Holy Spirit and this word, so that the external word is just for the external man, so that this physical activity, anything that's physical is just for physical humanity versus spiritual is for the spirit man. And so you get this whole idea, especially in this whole church growth movement now in our day, that you do anything just to get them in the door. So everything is external because it's all for the external man to prepare him for God to teach the internal man, so that God only teaches in this inner voice in the heart.
So that this is a debate that goes back to the Reformation era?
Yes.
Who were some of the principals, and what were their conclusions in this debate?
Well, you see, and this is the crazy thing, is we seem to think that the battle over the Bible is something relatively recent in the last 100 years or so. And the battle of the Bible, we thought, was, is it inspired, infallible, and inerrant? Well, really, the battle of the Bible took place back in the 1600s because the issue at hand was the external word. Is the external word efficacious? Does God actually work through the external word? And so what happens in the time of the Reformation is you have Luther who's going to emphasize the external word is what God has instituted to give his living voice through these instrumental means. But what happens is you have like groups like the Anabaptists who rise up, and they want to drive this wedge between the Holy Spirit and this external word. I mean, so the first one, of course, is going to be Zwingli, who's going to start to say, well, the Holy Spirit doesn't need any kind of a cart, or specifically that it's the flesh that profits nothing, but it's the Spirit who gives life. So after Zwingli and his successors, you get this whole emphasis on the inner voice of God apart from the external word.
Would the men who chose the right side in this debate, Luther and his contemporaries there, would they have asserted, did they ever assert, that not only was it the external word, was the external word able to do what it says, but that God works only through that external word?
Well, again, it's interesting. You said the debate. I mean, the debate was Luther and Zwingli over this, and this is where you see this all come manifest on the Lord's Supper, where Luther wants to go to the external word, and the external word says, this is my body, and so Jesus says it is so, and thus it is so. It actually is efficacious. It does what it says. But then you have Zwingli says, well, no, that doesn't seem to be right, and so therefore it's not, because it's external, it's material, it's physical. And what's interesting is then you have Zwingli, who then has a vision of this this personal vision that gives to him the true meaning of the external word. And so unless you had this true vision, you couldn't know truly what the word externally even said. And so here Luther's trying to look at the external word and say, this is how the Holy Spirit desires to work. And Zwingli's saying, the Holy Spirit desires to work by giving to me an inner illumination of what he really meant.
So when we find preachers out there who are convinced that simply opening Scripture, that explaining it in terms of law and gospel, delivering from every text God's word that shows us our sin and then our Savior crucified and risen for sinners. Preachers who are convinced this isn't enough. Are we seeing the descendants of Luther or of Zwingli?
Well, the irony again is if you actually look to the written word itself and see how God has revealed the way in which he desires to reveal the knowledge of salvation. So, for instance, you look in the scripture itself that talks about how the apostles were sent out to preach. And so, like in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, where Paul says, it pleased God through the folly of what we preach to save those who believe. So that there's actually something in the preaching. The preaching actually affects this. And so this is what Luther and the Lutheran reformers, the heirs of the Augsburg Confession, were holding to the same way that the successors of the apostles have talked ever since the days of the New Testament. That it is this preached word which is this power of God's for salvation. I mean, this is where Paul says it is the message of the cross that is the power of salvation.
Brian Ketchelmeyer is our guest. We're talking with him about the importance of preaching on this Wednesday afternoon, September the 11th. He's pastor of Redeemer Lutheran Church in Los Alamos, New Mexico, host of a podcast called Redeemer Theological Academy, author of an article in the latest Around the Word journal titled, What's the Big Deal About Preaching? When we come back another 10 minutes with him, our call-in number, 1-877-623-6943, our email address, talkback@issuesetc.org, and our Twitter address, @issuesetc. We'll be right back.
Hello, this is Pastor Kevin Golden of Village Lutheran Church in Ladue, Missouri. The saints at Village Lutheran are proud to be part of the Issues Etc. 300, sharing in their Christ-centered, cross-focused proclamation of the gospel. If you find yourself in St. Louis, join us on Sundays at 8:15 and 10:45 for the Divine Service, 9:30 for Bible study and Sunday school, as we receive Christ's gifts of forgiveness, life, and salvation. Or visit us on the web at www.villagelutheranchurch.org.
Does the theory of an old earth creation confess what the text of Scripture says about creation? I've written an article for the Fall Issues Etc. journal titled More Questions for Old Earth Creationists. You can read it by subscribing to the online Issues Etc. journal. Just look for the red subscription button on the right-hand column at issuesetc.org. In the Wittenberg Trail feature, Pastor David Ramirez details his journey from liberal Lutheranism to confessional Lutheranism. The online Issues Etc. journal.
Preaching Christ and Him crucified. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Seek out that clear teaching. That's why Issues Etc. is so great.
Pastor Jonathan Fisk, host of the video blog Worldview Everlasting, on the value of Issues Etc.
I can't speak highly enough of the times in my life, previous to seminary especially, where it was my lifeline. It was giving me the food that I needed, the clear thinking Christianity, to be able to know what I believed and why I believed it.
Talk radio for the thinking Christian. Issues Etc. IssuesETC.org.
This is a message for members of Thrivent Financial for Lutherans. If you designate your Thrivent Choice dollars to Issues Etc. online before October 31st, Thrivent will designate an additional $25 to Issues Etc. For more information on how you can designate funds to Lutheran Public Radio and give an additional $25 to LPR, look for the Thrivent logo under the Donate page at IssuesETC.org.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're talking about the importance of preaching. Pastor Brian Ketchelmeyer is our guest. Think about what Brian said earlier in our conversation, talks about how Christ has mandated preaching. That means not only men to preach, but people to hear that preaching. When you go to college, you leave mom, dad, friends, school, work. You leave behind your home congregation, but you do not leave behind your need to hear good, solid preaching in a good, solid church. Helping with that task is LCMSU. They know that kids leave a lot behind when they go off to college, but the one thing they should never leave behind is a connection to a pulpit, to a font, to an altar in a church where they can continue to hear Christ preached in law and gospel in his saving office every Sunday. Find out more about LCMSU at lcms.org/LCMSU, lcms.org/LCMSU. Pastor Ketchelmeyer, are we talking only about preaching? That is, only about the task of the preacher opening Scripture and proclaiming it to his people. Is there more to this efficacious external word than just preaching on Sunday morning.
Yes, and so the issue at hand is really the external word. It is something that is physical that God himself institutes. So it's ink and paper, as we have in the Scripture, which is actually just the preached word that's been written down. It's the voice of the preacher up there who's preaching, he's teaching. It's in the water, it's a baptism, it's in the wine and the bread, the blood and body of Christ. These are all externally doing what God desires, to bring salvation. So baptism saves, preaching saves. You take the blood of Christ upon your lips, and it gives you the remission of sins. Absolution forgives your sins, that proclamation that you are forgiven for the sake of Christ.
So that's why the theological descendants of the man you mentioned before at the time of the Reformation, Ulrich Zwingli, that's why they not only at their time and today denigrate the efficacious word in preaching, but the efficacious word in all those other things. Baptism is a mere symbol, the Lord's Supper a mere remembrance.
Yeah, they see all of these as just an external ritual. And so the issue at hand in the time of the Reformation is the external word efficacious. And those descendants of Zwingli would say no, because it's only for the external man. And so you'll even get to the point where you have Schwenkfeld, who makes it very clear, who's claiming these inner voices of God, revealing him individually private truth, that you have to be taught by God apart from anything external. So, I mean, they get to the point where they emphasize no externals at all. It's only for the sake of the inner voice in your inner soul that God can actually convert and do something.
Okay, from the person who sits in the pew, from that person's perspective, this is what they often think. They're sitting there Sunday morning, the pastor gets into the pulpit, he begins to preach. He either holds my attention or he doesn't. He either engages me in a lively, winsome way or he doesn't. And often I will think, and if he does, good for him. That was a good sermon. That was worth listening to. Something really happened there. I couldn't take my ears off of him. And if he bores me, I come to the conclusion nothing happened there. What are your thoughts?
Well, it seems like in cultural Christianity, that's kind of how we gauge if a sermon is effective, if it was able to keep my attention, or if it was persuasive, if it gave me the information, and then I look at it and it moved me to do something. And so that's how in cultural Christianity you see this idea of anything being efficacious. But in the Scripture, the idea is efficacious that God actually saves through it. I mean, you have Paul writing to Timothy and to Titus to make sure that they will have successors to the apostles placed in this preaching office. And so in these letters, 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy, I mean, in particular in 1 Timothy chapter 4, this is where Paul is telling Timothy, he says, keep a close watch on yourself and on the teaching, persist in this, for by doing so you will save both yourself and your hearers. That the actual correct teaching and preaching of God's word is efficacious. It's the word through which the Holy Spirit desires to work, to bring into work salvation.
So what do you think when you hear church gurus, church leaders saying, what we really need to do is find more effective ways to bring people to Christ, or something along those lines? What do you think when you hear that, Pastor Ketchemeyer?
Well, it sounds just like, again, the whole argument in the 16th century. So that if you're just talking about effective methods and strategies, you're thinking along the lines that that's all for the external man. So external activities are for the external man. And you do anything externally just to get a person in the place where then the Holy Spirit at some point in time can then work internally. The inner voice of God then starts to work. So to me, it goes back to the whole argument we had in the Reformation. I mean, is the external word instituted by God, is this efficacious as God himself claims, or is it this kind of this Zwingli, Schwenkfeld idea that that's just physical activity for the physical man and real salvation has to happen apart from that?
So what would be your thoughts for preachers? I mean, from both sides of the pulpit, from in the pulpit and outside the pulpit, the preacher and the hearer, for both of them to know when preaching is going on, when the pastor gets into the pulpit, what do you want him to know about the word that he is going to preach?
Well, what we have from the New Testament is the apostles make it very clear that they were sent out to preach the cross. So they are to preach Christ crucified, and that is the message. And so to preach the cross is to preach the word that God has given us to preach. And so this is why, again, in Titus and Timothy, these letters to successors of the apostles, it's so important to understand that those who are placed in this office are to be apt to teach. Not apt to teach in the sense that they are persuasive or they have this wonderful personality, but apt to teach in that they teach the same thing as the apostles, because that's the word from the Holy Spirit that he desires to use in an instrumental way through the voice of the preacher. So that Titus and Timothy are told to preach the word, but not any word, the word that Paul has given them to preach, which is inspired.
And for the person who hears preaching, what would you have them remember about the word that they're hearing preached?
That they are to listen to that word and beware, as Jesus has warned us many times, beware of false prophets. And a false prophet is one who preaches a different word. I mean, so that you have throughout the scripture, not only do you have false prophets, but false prophets are preaching false Christ, they're preaching false gospels, and of course they are being taught by false spirits. And so how do we discern the spirits? Well, we look to the spirit of truth. And the spirit of truth is the Holy Spirit who reveals to us in the external word the knowledge of salvation. So the sheep are to listen to the voice that they're being taught and to make sure that it's the voice of the good shepherd who's laid down his life for those sheep.
Are you saying, we've kind of started with the question implicitly stated, how important is preaching? Are you saying, in fact, Pastor Ketchelmeyer, that along with the other forms of the external word that you mentioned, baptism, absolution, the Lord's Supper, the preaching is, in fact, the most important thing in the world?
Well, that's an interesting question. What is interesting, when you look at Paul will make a big deal about how he was sent not to baptize, but interestingly, to preach. And then Paul also in Romans will make it very clear that faith comes by hearing in chapter 10. And in the context of chapter 10, he's directly talking about the preaching of the word. Because again, how can someone believe without hearing, and how can someone hear without a preacher, and how can a preacher preach unless he's sent? And that comes right on the foot of his quotation from Isaiah 53, in which Isaiah was preaching Christ crucified, the suffering servant, and Isaiah says, "Who has listened to our message?"
So should a preacher step into the pulpit aware of the fact that what he is about to say is the most important thing his people will hear all week?
Yes, it is. Yeah, I mean, and that's, again, these just stark words, just very powerful words that Paul tells Timothy when Paul says to him that watch what you teach, because if you persist in true doctrine, you will save both yourself as the teacher and your hearers. I mean, so this is vitally important. It's not comedy hour. It's the time in which you proclaim Christ, that you are being used as an instrument through which the voice of God will enter into the ears of the hearers.
Can we add anything to the effective external word to make it more, even more effective?
Yeah, no. So it's not like if we turn up the volume and if we speak louder, it makes it more powerful, or if we come in more energetic and do somersaults down the aisle and then start preaching, that it becomes a more energy-filled sermon. What is important is that God has placed a man into the office. So the sheep want to be sure that this is the man God has given them to preach Christ. And that man is then supposed to preach Christ and him crucified. And so that is what is important for the preacher.
Pastor Brian Ketchelmeyer is pastor of Redeemer Lutheran Church in Los Alamos, New Mexico. He's host of a podcast called Redeemer Theological Academy, author of an article in the latest Around the Word journal titled What's the Big Deal About Preaching? You'll find a link to his podcast under the Listen On Demand page at issuesetc.org. Brian, thank you.
Yes, and thanks for having me, Todd.
Tomorrow on Issues Etc., we're going to discuss stewardship. Pastor Heath Curtis is going to join us, and we'll begin a series with Pastor Will Whedon on the liturgy of confirmation. I'm convinced of this. I think Scripture makes it absolutely clear. Not only is preaching mandatory, to be done and to be heard. It's the central function of the church. And that preaching comes in more than one form. It comes not only from the pulpit, from the altar, and from the font. I'm talking about the proclamation and the work of that external word that is Holy Scripture. It's mandatory. It's the most important thing. It's the most important thing in your life. You may not be a professional preacher. You might be a professional something else or a non-professional something else. But the most important thing in your life is the Christ crucified that you hear preached through that external word that is effective to save you every Sunday morning. The most important thing. I'm Todd Wilkin. I'll talk with you tomorrow. Thanks for listening to Issues Etc.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Lutheran Public Radio, P.O. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
I like to think of the deaconess vocation as driven by two things, the love of Christ and the needs of our neighbor.
Dr. James Buescher, Director of Deaconess Studies at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana, on the vocation of deaconess.
First, the deaconess is moved by the love of Christ, who came not to be served, but to serve. Yet I think we can also see the profound needs around us, broken families, loneliness, despair. Deaconesses help the church to become a true family that manifests the love of Christ in our love for one another and especially for those in need.
If you've ever considered the vocation of deaconess, Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, invites you to prayerfully consider October 10th through the 12th. For more information, call 1-800-481-2155. 1-800-481-2155 or visit ctsfw.edu.